with you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Today is Tuesday, 18th of Jamadil Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of the month of Azar, 1404 of the solar calendar, and the 9th of December, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Now we open Allah's book and we use its light to find our way. For today, we learn more about verse 159 of chapter Al Imran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fabima rahmatin min Allah linta lahum walau kunta faddan ghalidhal qalbi lanfaddu min hawlik fa'fu anhum wastaghfir lahum wa shawirhum fil amr. فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين.
So by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The content of the verse works as some general instructions, but the revelation of the verse is about the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims who had ran away in the Battle of Uhud and were defeated were burning in the fire of regret, remorse, and sorrow. They gathered around the Prophet and apologized. Then the Lord issued the command of their general pardon by this verse. Also, beside contemplation and consultation, do not forget to trust in Allah. Consultation and reliance in Allah are beloved with Him, whether we attain the aim or not.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Qawwata darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا رب
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
How we can live in a completely blessed life. A long life can indeed be a source of precious good. The claim that life is evil and that living it is better than enduring it is nothing but nonsense, completely disconnected from Islam. Life is an opportunity that must be seized. Remaining in it is a means for greater purity and perfection. Every moment a person spends in this worldly life is a chance to accomplish something. Therefore, it is not permissible to frown upon life, to turn away from it, to despair of its means, or to withdraw from its path. So the point is that Allah has given blessings to man in this world, so he should use these blessings for the success of the hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we have another topic to discuss about. If life is a blessing, are we looking at the life as blessing? So let's have a look at the view of Allama Tabatabai in this regard. Allama Tabatabai says, with regard to the meaning of life, it says and offers another interpretation, stating that some of the earlier understanding of this phrase, such as paradise, happiness, and independence from creation, are actually results of a good life, while others, such as faith in God and knowing Him, are prerequisites for attaining this kind of life. In Tabatabai's opinion, this verse refers to a new real life granted to believers, which differs from the ordinary life that all humans possess. According to him, a good life, free from any evil or corruption, is not separate from ordinary human life, but rather a higher stage of it, which some people achieve. The Quran explains the characteristics and nature of life and compares it with the hereafter in some verses, such as Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 85 to 86. The material life of beings, especially humans, on earth is referred to with the descriptive phrase Al-Hayatu Dunya, the life of this world, which is mentioned over 60 times in the Holy Quran. In Surah Al-Hajj, verse 5, the stages from the beginning to the end of this life are also described. This life begins from dust and through the formation of a sperm drop, a clot, and birth ends in death. This descriptive phrase, when compared to Ad-Darul Akhira, the adobe of the hereafter, means the present or near life. The Quran presents the concept of eternal life, which is the desire and goal of all in a way different from the pre-Islamic Arab understanding. They sought eternity in this world, but since this was impossible, they fell into futility.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Again, think about it, how to lead a good life. Undoubtedly, there will always be challenges in life, but that doesn't mean that one cannot experience a good life. The Quran particularly mentions about the good life in Surah An-Nahl. Allah says in chapter An-Nahl, verse 97, "Whoever does good, whether male or female, and is a believer, we will surely bless them with a good life, and we will certainly reward them according to the best of their deeds. Whoever strives to do good, whether in ease or in difficulty, and remains faithful to Allah, will be granted a good life." Conversely, in Surah Taha, Allah warns us, "But whoever turns away from my reminder will certainly have a miserable life. Then we will raise them up blind on the day of judgment." Question: what actions increase barakah in one's life? When people neglect time, they tend to regret it in later years. Many people look back at their high school and college years wishing to have done greater good with their time. The Prophet informed us in a famous hadith, there are two blessings many people waste, good health and free time. In other words, many people waste their good health until they are ill and then they regret not doing more with it, and same with time. Life only increases in responsibilities and commitments for the productive believer, and there is no concept of true boredom for Muslims who values very precious minutes of this short life. Some people were given only 30 years in this world, but we are able to accomplish more in quality than people who live decades longer. The believers are those who do the best with their situation, living each day as though it's the last and not procrastinating goodness for a future that may not arrive.
So, what is the good life here? If life is a blessing, then what is a good life from an Islamic perspective? The phrase Hayatan Tayyiba in Surah An-Nahl, verse 97, offers a clear explanation of this usage in the Quran. According to this verse, Allah grants a good and pleasant life to believers who perform righteous deeds. Commentators have contrasted this with an ma'ishatan danka, difficult life. And they believe this good life can occur in this world, in the barzakh, that is intermediate state, intermediary world, or in the hereafter. The commentators have also interpreted this good life as lawful sustenance, contentment, paradise, happiness, faith in Allah, performing acts of worship, experiencing the sweetness of obedience to Allah, attaining the ability to worship, independence from creation and turning to Allah Himself, and knowing Allah and being truthful before Him.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special, which in that way speak about a blessed life and the ways, of course. Follow us. Thank you and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. I need forgiving.
There's a part of me that won't understand, having sleepless nights with my head in my hands. I'm here and tears are falling, yeah. If I could right the wrongs, would you lend me your hand? I would make a difference to this beautiful land. If I'm nothing, I have my intention. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. I need forgiving.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear listeners, peace and blessings be upon you all, salam. And welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today, we reflect on a striking warning from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny. And before I say it, you know, prevention is always better than healing, curing the disease after it happens. So, he is quoted to have said, beware of greed. Beware of greed, for it destroyed those before you. It commanded them to be stingy, so they were stingy. It commanded them to sever ties, so they cut off one another. And it commanded them to sin, so they sinned. So, this hadith highlights how a single inner disease, like greed, can poison families, communities, and entire civilizations. Shuh, in other words, in Arabic. Shuh, or greed, is more than just being careful with money. It is a deep selfishness, an unwillingness to share, to give, or to care. It's the voice inside that says, me first, always. Modern psychology has shown that chronic greed is linked to higher anxiety and lower happiness. A 2017 study in the Journal of Personality found that people with high materialistic values often experience more loneliness and less life satisfaction. So greed doesn't just harm others, it eats the greedy person from within. History also testifies to this truth. Many nations collapsed because of greed. Even in our time, financial crises are often triggered by unchecked greed. The 2008 global financial meltdown, for example, was fueled by a reckless pursuit of profit without responsibility. What the Prophet warned centuries ago is still painfully real today. So the Prophet explained that greed doesn't stop at stinginess. It spreads like a chain reaction. First, it makes people miserly, withholding wealth, knowledge, or even kindness. Then it breaks relationships because selfishness erodes trust and cooperation. Families fight over inheritance. Communities spill it over resources. And finally, it pushes into immorality. When the only goal is personal gain, people justify lying, cheating, and even betrayal. So greed starts in the heart, but ends in social collapse. That's kind of wonderful in the negative way. So what's the remedy? The Prophet's life gives us the answer, generosity. Even a small act matters, a smile, a kind word, sharing time. Neuroscience research shows that generosity activates the brain's reward system, giving us a helper's high. And strengthen family ties, sets values above wealth, and remember accountability, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
They say that a barking dog doesn't bite. But Mr. Donald Trump, if I may use the metaphor, has been barking at Mexico for quite some time. Could we be on the verge of witnessing military invasion of Mexico by the Americans? So buckle up, because this is today's journey on Gringo.
Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East.
I have as a guest the foreign media correspondent here in Mexico, Raul Torres, whom I warmly welcome. Raul, it's such a pleasure to see you again and to have you here on Gringo. And we have a satellite connection here with Samuel Cruz Trujillo, a historian and analyst with an excellent YouTube channel, author of several books, and also a Mexican who lives in La Paz, Bolivia, to ask him about this topic. I'm really glad to have you back here at Gringo. Raul, regarding Claudia Sheinbaum, it's quite unique because with Trump, it seemed like he and Andres Manuel López Obrador had a mutual understanding. However, with Claudia Sheinbaum on one hand, he praises her personally. He says she is intelligent and all these good words. But on the other hand, Mexico is still struggling. There is a double standard at play, you know. The president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, has mentioned several times, well, there is the national anthem, a soldier in every son you gave. A soldier, you see, we're talking about a narrative, a use of language.
Well, to me, it's like President Trump speaks to the president, probably with his head turned to the left or to his left side. But then when he talks about her, he speaks with his right hand. I mention this because he has indeed expressed positive remarks about her. Yet he concludes by saying, she can't, she's even afraid. However, he has gone further. As you may recall that just a few weeks ago, there was a report of a warship sailing very close to Ensenada, in international waters, but near Ensenada. Weeks later, It was reported that a surveillance plane from the United States was circling over Mexican territory, specifically in the northern part of the country. In addition, during the attacks carried out near Venezuela, we have witnessed how the narco boats are targeted and destroyed, resulting in the loss of lives.
Without any proof whatsoever that they are drug traffickers, nothing.
And without the basic right for these individuals to defend themselves. Well, there was also a case where even the Mexican Navy took part in the search for lone survivor of U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats.
Euphemistically called a castaway. Well, a castaway, but after an attack.
Of course. It wasn't in Mexican waters, but rather in international waters, close to Mexican waters. The Mexican government assisted in the search for this individual, this possible survivor, who was not found. So President Trump makes these statements. But then he pressures the Mexican government to take certain actions, even though the president asserts that we are sovereign, which we are, despite her claims that she governs independently of President Trump's pressure. However, in February and then in August, she handed over a total of 56 drug traffickers, who were indeed drug traffickers and criminals, but were undergoing legal proceedings and some still had time to appeal, to seek to avoid extradition. The Mexican government essentially decides to exile them, citing a security law. So it ends like this, bending the government, making President Sheinbaum take decisions and actions that she probably wouldn't take at another time or under different circumstances. If we talk about a matter of sovereignty, she shouldn't have to do it, yet she does.
Well, you've experienced Trump's first term, and you were quite active here in Mexico. What differences do you see between that first term of Trump, moving through Biden, and now in the second term of Donald Trump?
I believe he is a much more aggressive president now. In those earlier days of his first term, it seemed like there was room for negotiation, at least with Mexico. I think he has adopted a much more assertive approach, driven by a need for people to truly believe in him, and understandably so, given his recent electoral setback. Therefore, I think this leads him to make decisions that are much tougher and face stronger opposition than what the government encountered during his previous term.
Samuel, as a historian, you can say whatever you like, but I can't help but recall that excuse, that pretext used by President James Polk in 1846 to invade Mexico. It even promoted the young legislator Abraham Lincoln to ask, "What? What's going on? Bloodshed on Mexican soil?" With so many justifications for invasion and intervention, do you see that risk right now? Is there any false flag operation? Something that could lead to, "Wow, you did this to me, so let's go and take action." Because this all begins with labeling organized crime groups as terrorists.
Well, I should say yes. Let's not forget that the United States is, well, along with Israel, the masters of false flag operations. I must confess that when we were on one of their shows, we were watching a video that described the Sonora Desert as Afghanistan. That makes it clear to me that the plan is in place. In fact, there have always been invasion plans, not just against Mexico, but against other countries as well. They claim to have dismantled drug cartels after World War II, but believing the United States when they say they're going to dismantle that is truly insane. In fact, the United States thrives on that. I used to think it could happen when the elements from the United States, who were supposedly going to support the Mexican forces in the fight against drug trafficking, came in. But now I'm feeling fear regarding Israel, with the recent news of an alleged attempt by Iran to assassinate the Israeli ambassador in Mexico. I believe that's where the issues might arise, and if not, at least the ambassador is making an impression on the president regarding what they might be negotiating. However, all of this aligns with Donald Trump's rhetoric. This is very much in line with the recent performance that Israel staged in Mexico, where we can clearly see that Israel's influence is becoming more apparent. Previously, it operated somewhat under the radar, we could say, in a subtle, economic, rhetorical, and propagandistic manner. But now there is a real risk that if a false flag operation occurs in Mexico, we could be pushed to align directly with Israel and the United States. Remember, as we mentioned, while there was a struggle, Sheinbaum acknowledged that what was happening in Gaza was genocide. Additionally, Mexico was one of the countries that voted for a ceasefire, while only the United States, Israel, and Argentina voted against it. So I also don't rule out the possibility of either diplomatic pressure or a false flag attack occurring.
Diplomática o un ataque de falsa bandera.
Bien, oye, entonces, ¿tú consideras?
Well, so do you think that the possibility of this is just a heads up about something that might be brewing and could eventually be used as a false flag operation? Let's not forget that two Israelis were arrested who intended to blow up the legislative palace of San Lazaro, which is the seat of the Chamber of Deputies in Mexico, and after that, there was complete silence. So, a false flag operation. On that topic, I ask you, what would happen here in Mexico if there were an invasion, perhaps not like the previous ones? Would the Mexican army send a soldier for every son, as President Claudia Sheinbaum says?
¿Entraría el ejército mexicano un soldado en cada hijo te dio, como dice la presidenta Claudia Sheinbaum?
Pues yo creo que sí. Los mexicanos somos así.
I believe that yes, we Mexicans are like that. I think the army would obviously take the lead, but unfortunately, let me be very blunt about this, it would be the same as what has happened all over the world. We can be very brave or very bold, but the Afghans, the Gazans, and other countries that have been subjugated are also very brave and bold. So we couldn't know. Look, I prefer to think of a diplomatic solution. I wouldn't even dare to think about it. Just now, Mr. Raw mentioned that plane that flew over Baja California, over the Sea of Cortez, or the Gulf of California, as some call it, and that plane passed right in front of the city where I was born. The feeling of awe is indescribable. Now, to think about a war is something I wouldn't even dare to comment on, but undoubtedly, we Mexicans would get involved. However, the examples from around the world are quite disappointing, making it hard to say we should go to war with the United States. I believe the Mexican government should, or rather must, find a way to resolve the issue without making so many excuses, as it seems they are trying hard to give the impression that they are indeed colluding with drug trafficking.
Raúl, recently a mayor was murdered in the city of Uruapan, Michoacán. This mayor had a background as a congressman and was making significant waves from Uruapan, Michoacán, generating a whole movement. I am almost certain he would have won the upcoming elections on the 27th to become the governor of Michoacán. And many do not rule out the possibility of him moving on to the presidency. He had a very different approach to confronting organized crime, using a language that contrasts sharply with that of the Fourth Transformation. This assassination is certainly not music to the ears of Mr. Donald Trump, as they say. Just look, could there be something unusual going on? I don't know, I really don't, but without diving into speculation, because journalism is about covering facts, not hypotheses, it seems to fit perfectly into building that narrative. I return to the book by Caspar Weinberger. Please read it. It discusses a country descending into chaos, necessitating U.S. intervention to restore order. Honestly, that thought frightens me.
Honestly, I hadn't considered the assassination of Mayor Manso from a geopolitical perspective. I viewed it more as a conflict and all the events it has triggered, along with the potential repercussions for the country. However, it's quite fascinating because, in the end, it does draw a parallel to Donald Trump. In other words, they can't. And we need to pay attention to the statement from General Secretary Trevilla, who said it wasn't an issue. It wasn't because of the protocol.
Yes, we didn't fail. He almost blames the dead man.
Yes, of course. So when General Trevilla states that it wasn't a protocol issue, meaning it wasn't a problem with my guys, my soldiers, then it becomes someone else's problem. If it's someone else's problem, why are they trying to resolve it? Why are they covering for this individual who was well known to be under siege, to be in danger? Therefore, it was undoubtedly a serious mistake on the part of the National Guard and the military. Let's consider that perhaps Carlos Manso was indeed careless, but that's why he had all that military escort. In other words, the army failed. The army couldn't handle the criminals.
que está generando todo un movimiento, incluso...
A whole movement is being created, including nationwide protests, to which an organization called Generation Z is adding its call. What do you think about that? Also, there are the old rumors about plans for the Balkanization of Mexico, particularly in the northern part, and then everything else, including the southeast and what Trump once referred to as the Central America area, which he called a bunch of holes.
There have always been internal enemies as well, so we shouldn't only look outward. The dangers from within are quite serious, Mr. Rubain. The factions that always exist, even within the same parties, have significant power in Mexico and are not hesitant to betray or to call for foreign forces to enter our territory. I'm going to be quite blunt again, but one of those who did this was Benito Juarez, that figure we are made to worship, almost like a god in elementary school. However, if it weren't for the Americans, he would have given away a passage. They rejected his plan to permanently hand over a passage through the Isthmus of Tehuantepec and another from Nogales to Guaymas, Sonora. If it were up to him, we would already be Balkanized.
I'm very grateful, and I hope to see you on the next episode of Gringo.
Reach out for you to hold my hand. The rain may fall, but united we stand. Our prophet guided the children, they grew into be men. He taught the brothers be equal and respect your friend.
Welcome, dear listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, and I'm your host for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into the early hours of this morning. We'll start this hour's lineup with Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Quran at level 2. After that, we have Islamic upbringing. The program aims to answer frequently asked questions about children and adolescents and their upbringing. Israel Watch will follow next. The program aims to examine and criticize reports and analysis by Israeli media on current events and issues in West Asia region. And the Ocean of Dua is our final program this hour. The program gives an explanation of supplications taken from various books such as Mafatihul Jinan and Kamilu Ziyarat. Stay with us for the next hour.
Let's recite the Quran.
وإذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. We were reciting chapter number 71, Surah Nuh of the Noble Quran. Inshallah, in this episode, we will be reciting from verse number 17, because we have finished up until verse number 16 of this chapter.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
I'll ask Brother Ali without any further ado to please recite verse number 17 for us of this chapter, Surah Nuh. Brother Ali, Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا.
أحسنتم. A very beautiful recitation. So in this verse we have أنبتكم, correct? Why didn't you recite and say أنبتكم or أنبتكم?
Because the ruling Iqlab is applied.
Exactly. Here. Okay, the ruling of Iqlab. The ruling of Iqlab basically says what? Whenever we have a Nun Sakin followed by a Ba, what do?
We should change the Nun.
We convert the Nun,
yes,
into a meme, but not a complete meme, an incomplete meme.
Yes.
So basically, in our recitation, you will hear meme, but our lips will not be touching together.
Yeah.
وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ. Keep in mind the lam of Allah, the beginning of this verse, should be recited with tafkhim. Why? Because Allah, whenever we have the haraka before the lam of Allah, whenever it is fatha or dhamma, we make the lam of Allah tafkhim, a heavy voice and a rounded sound, correct? However, if we have kasra, for example, lillah, the lam is with tarqiq, a flat sound with a smile, lillahi, correct? But in this case, it's wallahu, correct? Wallahu anbatakum. Keep in mind the ruling of iqlab, whenever we have noon sakin followed by a ba, the noon converts to meem. Now, in this case, it always has a ghunna. Correct? Iqlab always comes with a ghunna. Wallahu anbatakum. Again, we have idgham of two memes, and this idgham of two memes also entails that It should be recited with ghunna. أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا أَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. Keep in mind the ra and da is our letters of tafkhim as well.
وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا.
And Allah has caused you to grow from the earth, a progressive growth.
I'll ask Brother Hassan to please recite verse number 18 of this chapter for us. Brother Hassan.
ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا.
Very good, mashallah. Beautiful recitation.
The last word is إخراجا.
إخراجا. And that is one of the points I wanted to point out. Keep in mind that خا is also a letter of تفخيم. را in this case should be recited with تفخيم. را is not necessarily a letter of تفخيم because there are cases whereby we recite Ra without Tafkhim. We recite it with Tarqeed. In this case, we have both the cases, and inshallah, we'll mention them. But let's begin with the first point of this verse. Thumma. Right? Thumma. This Thumma is recited with Ghunna. Why? Because, Brother Hassan?
Because of the Ya.
No, because of Mushadda. No, the meme over here is with Shadda, so we recite it with Ghunna. Ghunna basically means a nasal sound, a little bit of a stretch, two counts maximum. ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ يُخْرِجُكُمْ. Now, in this case, the ra is with kasra. And ra, when it comes with kasra, or when it has a sukoon and the kasra is before the ra, what happens is, it is recited with tarqiq, a flat sound, a smile. And keep in mind that kha is, although it's sakin, it's still a tafkhim letter. So it always have to be recited with tafkhim. Now this, when you focus, we have a kha, which is a tafkhim before ra, and which is tarqiq. And then we have ja, which is with dhamma. Now, kasra and dhamma, it becomes a bit of a difficulty in reciting, but the more you practice, the better you get it. يُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Now, this ra over here, because it is with fatha, right? Ra, whenever we have fatha on it, or it is sakin, and before it is fatha or dhamma, we make it into a tafkhim. We recite it with tafkhim. إِخْرَاجًا. Kha is with tafkhim, ra is also with tafkhim. Ikhraja, it's not ikhraja, right? Ikhraja, ahsantum.
Thumma yu'idukum fiha wa yukhrijukum ikhraja.
Then he will return you into it and extract you another extraction.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Verse number 19, I'll ask Brother Marsoom to please take the honors.
وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا.
Ahsantum, very good. Again, we have Allah, the ruling of Allah in this case is with tarqiq. The recitation over here is with tafkhim, I'm sorry. Why? Because before the lam of Allah, the middle lam of Allah, we have, what is the haraka, Brother Masoom?
Fatha.
Fatha. Fatha basically means that the lam of Allah, because fatha comes before the lam of Allah, the lam of Allah will be recited with tafkhim. Wallahu. Wallahu ja'ala lakumul arda. Ra and ba'd again with tafkhim. لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا. Keep in mind, ba, sa, both of them, tarqiq, flat. Bisa, not bisa, not bisa, not bisa, bisa, right? Keep in mind, it is bisa. The first part is with tarqiq, and the second part is with
تفخيم.
والله جعل لكم الأرض بساطا.
And Allah has made for you the earth an expanse.
Finally, the last verse of this episode, I'll ask Brother Hussein to please recite for us verse number 20 of this chapter.
لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا.
Exactly. So there is no tafkhim for fijaja, right? There is no fijaja, it's fijaja. It's all tarqiq, normal flat recitation. You see, when there is something with knowledge, whenever you learn something new, you kind of have to practice that new thing to make sure that it is embodied and manifested in your recitation. Until now, maybe you would have recited correctly fijaja, but now that you've learned tafkhim and tarqiq, now you're confused exactly yes. where you should apply it, right? It's a very common thing. Practice more, you'll get it. لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. Remember, keep in mind that the minha is with idhar. There is no ikhfa or idgham or any sort of ruling that is applied for you to give it a ghunna and say minha, right? That is incorrect. The correct recitation will be minha, normal, flat, straight up minha idhar. لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. The second noon, however, in this case, سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. That was the original recitation. However, because of what ruling do we give it a ghunna, Brother Hussein?
إِخْفَى.
Yes. سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا, right? Now, originally it was سُبُلًا. The tanween of subul, right? Subula, the tanween of subulan is actually a nun sakin at the end, correct? So whenever we have nun sakin or tanween, after that we have a mouth letter. In this case, we have fa. Fa, right? What happens is that we apply the ruling of ikhfa. Ikhfa says silence the sound of nun, give it a ghunna, right? Meaning that a small nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch, and then recite. Subulan fijaja. Originally and incorrectly, it would have been subulan fijaja. But then correctly, after the application of ikhfa and ghunna, it will become subulan fijaja. Correct?
لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا.
That you may follow therein roads of passage.
Let's repeat the recitation of these verses we recited in this episode. We started from 16, correct? No, from 17.
17, yeah.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا.
ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا.
ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا.
Sentum ikhraja, not ikhraja. Ikhraja. The ja is not a letter of tafkhim.
Wallahu ja'ala lakumul arda bisata. Wallahu ja'ala lakumul arda bisata.
Litasluku minha subulan fijaja.
لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that marks the end of this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Iran Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. In this program, we answer your curious questions and we discuss the topics regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. Our answers are rooted in the Holy Book of Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the narrations of Imams. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. Today in our studio, we have pleasure to be with Brother Liaqat Abbas. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam, sister.
Well, if the girl teens are listening to us, we have lessons even for them from the martyrs. So when we were talking about martyrs in the previous episodes, we talked about the male martyrs, but we also have females here. And today we'll explore about a female martyr whose name is Maryam Farhanian. So without any further ado, I would want you to start with this martyr and the lessons that we can derive from her.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This martyr used to work in a hospital, and it was a day where she comes to the head of the hospital, and she would ask for a leave. And the head of the hospital in charge